The deep dives continue, and 2016-17 is Isaiah Thomas's season. But this podcast is all about drafting Jaylen Brown. It's a Tuesday Locked On Celtics. Millies, let's go. Brandon Jay's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This is the truth like 34. This is like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, John Corrales here from MassLive.com. I am their Boston Celtics beat reporter. Thank you for making this podcast part of your daily routine. This podcast has been daily for so long. I know other podcasts are coming along trying to do the daily thing because they realize that we've been doing it and we've been doing it the best, and now they want to copy us. So we're the originals on the Locked On Podcast Network. Make sure you're subscribing to all of the Locked On podcasts. Locked On Celtics, if this is your first time as a Celtics fan, you want to check it out, enjoy it. This is a little bit of a departure. What we've been doing is the deep dives. While this hiatus was going on, we went back to the beginnings of Boston Celtics history. So if you're just joining the podcast, the entire hiatus has been deep dive from the beginning of Boston Celtics, the hiring of Red Auerbach, Bob Cousy, Tommy Heinsohn, Bill Russell. We started with all of that months ago, 4 months ago. Now we're up to the 2016-17 season, which, as you know, is the Isaiah Thomas season. This is Isaiah Thomas putting forth one of the greatest individual offensive seasons of all time. That's what this podcast is about. However, before that happens, the Boston Celtics have to draft Jaylen Brown, which is its own story in and of itself, this entire podcast, as we watch Jaylen Brown come out of the gate in the bubble hot. We go back to Jaylen Brown being drafted and the mystery surrounding it and the rumors surrounding it, and why was that pick booed? It's not because they didn't want Jaylen Brown. It's because of other things. And we're going to talk about it here. It's myself and Mike Dinan of RedsArmy.com. This whole thing, we recorded an hour and a half, the entire season. We talked about the entire season. This portion is the discussion about Jaylen Brown. So here it is, me and Mike Dinan of RedsArmy.com. 2016-17 season. Wow. This is a season. Mike, this is a hell of a season for a lot of reasons.
Absolutely. One of the craziest ones ever.
It really is. So let's start with the draft. All right. This was Danny Ainge kind of painted into a corner a little bit, because in this draft, the Celtics went in with 3, 6, 8 draft picks. 8 picks. All accumulated from the Nets trade, from the Rondo trade. So they had, I remember prior to this trade, prior to this draft, we're talking about Danny Ainge has to find a way to consolidate these picks. You can't make all of these picks. There has to be something. And he never could find any sort of move, any sort of trade, even to package a couple of picks to move into a future draft or anything like that. So let's start with this. There were all sorts of rumors here about the Celtics. This was, I think, the year that Jimmy Butler was the big hot trade rumor. There were a lot of possibilities. There was a lot of chatter going into this draft, Mike.
Yes, that was the rumor. Jimmy Butler was the big prize in the trade market. And, excuse me, if you remember, the Celtics picked third, and there was no clear-cut third choice. The draft was generally seen as Ben Simmons and Brandon Ingram, and then take your pick after that, literally. There was no consensus as to who the next guy should be. So the Celtics sitting third, there was a lot of debate. And the draft night, turned out kind of bad for Jalen in the sense that the fans overreacted a little bit. But as you were getting to, they were the people at the draft night party at the Garden, they were expecting to hear some big announcement about a trade and land a superstar. And then it became none of that and just the draft pick. And it was a little bit of a backlash.
Yeah. So the Celtics, at that point, it was Jimmy Butler was with the Bulls. And this was when Jimmy Butler was going to, before he went to Minnesota. And the Celtics were rumored to be part of that whole thing. And I remember on that night, the topic of conversation was, if the Celtics draft Chris Dunn, who was the point guard out of Providence, if they draft Dunn, it is because they have come to an agreement to make a trade. If they draft Jaylen Brown, it's because they're keeping Jaylen Brown. And we got to set up now. All of these rumors are happening. We're coming off of a promising season. You can see Isaiah Thomas ascending. At this point, there is some real chatter. Before the draft is even done, the Celtics are lining themselves up for a potential signing. They're going after Al Horford. They're going after Kevin Durant. They've got money. They've got money to make moves. So this is potentially a big season going into the summer for Danny Ainge. A ton of draft picks, promising young players. You got money. And so I think people saw this as the opportunity. Like, hey, Jimmy Butler, young up-and-coming star. You pair him with Isaiah Thomas. Now we're cooking. Now we've got something. You sign one of these free agents. Now, all of a sudden, we back, baby. So that's that's the anticipation leading into this draft. And I think we have to make sure that as we look back on this, and especially now as we're doing this against the backdrop of Jaylen Brown having had two pretty good scrimmages in the bubble, in the restart, and how we see Jaylen Brown now, the narrative of, well, he went from being booed on draft night to a $100 million extension. Pump the brakes. They didn't boo Jaylen Brown. It's not like they wanted Dragan Bender to keep, and they said, nope, we're going to do Jaylen Brown. And people were like, boo, we don't want Jaylen Brown. They were booing not making a trade for Jimmy Butler.
Well, that is so, but it's nuance, you know? People are going to forget the nuance part. They right. just know that when Jaylen Brown's name was announced, the boos happened. And despite the backstory, I think it still was unfair to him, Jaylen.
Sure.
But as you say, now you look at Jaylen, boy, he's turned out to be really something. He's so improved, especially over the last year. And I don't know, maybe getting Jimmy Butler would have been great, but then again, Jimmy Butler has been sort of a loose cannon. He's been on three teams in the past 3 years.
Yep.
And has caused some turmoil at the places where he has been. And, you know, I don't think the Celtics came out too badly the way it worked out.
And look, it's also important to note that Jaylen Brown was not highly rated when he was coming out of college. In fact, there were I was just listening to the Hoop Collective podcast where they had Kevin Pelton and Mike Schmitz. They're two big draft guys. And Schmitz was saying, like, Jaylen Brown was – he basically said Jaylen Brown was my biggest miss. And, like, on record as one of the worst kind of assessments that a lot of draft people had made, because his numbers coming out of Cal were so bad. The advanced numbers coming out of Cal were very, very bad. And people might have gotten caught in this little myopic, like, assessment of Jaylen Brown, because you see him at Cal, and I didn't see much of him at Cal. I really didn't scout much of him, but the assessments were that, you know, his shooting is it's a little tough. He's just a lot of things that he was unable to do at Cal were things that he's going to need to be very good at at the NBA level. And what they didn't take into account was all of the bad fits, all of the pieces around him that didn't work with his game at all. And teams could pack the paint and not let him drive and really take away all of his other options. He had a bad year at Cal, but it was really a bad fit. And when the Celtics got him, to get him at three in that moment, people were like, wow, Jaylen Brown at three, huh? Okay. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can even follow us on Spotify.
Cal is not known as a basketball powerhouse, you know, so maybe that worked against them a little bit too. But if you look back at that draft and the names, you know, the Celtics came out smelling like a rose on that because you had Simmons and Ingram went 1 and 2, as we said, then Jaylen. After that, Dragan Bender, he's out of the league, right? Chris Dunn was a popular choice around in New England because he was from Providence College, but he hasn't worked out. Buddy Hield and Jamal Murray.
Okay, so Buddy Hield is okay, but you know at six maybe a reach. Jamal Murray's good. Domantas Sabonis you mentioned, but there are good players in this draft. Caris LeVert went 20th. Pascal Siakam went 27th. That's a good, obviously a good player. DeJounte Murray, there's some decent names in this draft, but Jaylen Brown has acquitted himself nicely. And when you don't look back at this draft and say, wow, Jaylen Brown, huh? Okay, good one. Like at this point, you're like, Jaylen Brown is the third overall pick. He's performing as you would expect a third overall pick. So yes, there were boos on draft night and no, the Celtics weren't able to trade for Jimmy Butler. But now in the grand scheme of things, you've only just signed Jaylen Brown to his extension. That kicks in next year. You've had all of this production out of Jaylen Brown. And as you mentioned before, would Jimmy Butler have worked in Boston? Would we be looking at another Kyrie Irving situation or a pre-Kyrie Irving situation where you trade for the guy, it doesn't work out, and then he leaves, and you're like, oh, crap. So you got Jaylen Brown. He's here. He's obviously going to be here for a while. You're going to end up with at least 7 years, 8 years of Jaylen Brown at this production. The next few years look pretty damn good. So at that point, Danny Ainge strongly criticized. Now you look at it and you go, well, Danny probably knew a little bit better than we did.
As usual. And right. Let me say this, too, that, you know, some of the names that you mentioned that have done well out of that draft, Siakam, for example, picked way down in the first round. So Toronto found a good one there. They hit it right. But, you know, he wasn't projected to be a high draft pick. So it's not like the Celtics whiffed on taking Siakam. The thing was they wanted it. They had Jaylen Brown on their board. They picked him over the rest of the candidates in that area, and it turned out to be the right choice. And can we also just say that Jaylen has turned out not to be too smart to play in the NBA, okay?
Yeah, that was one of the worst criticisms you could ever have of a guy, to say he's too smart to play in the NBA. And that's plenty of coded language in there, too.
Which, absolutely.
You know, I mean, we want our athletes young and dumb. And, you know, like, I mean, that's – we could spend another hour talking just about that.
We could. But let me just say one thing about it, that Bill Bradley, who went on to become a U.S. senator, he played for the Knicks in the early 70s and was a great player, a couple of championships – with New York. He was a Rhodes Scholar coming out of Princeton. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever said he's too smart for the NBA.
Right.
Nobody ever said that old school coaches won't put up with that. Well, he played for Red Holtzman at New York, and Red Holtzman was about as old school as Red Auerbach. So, yeah. You know, those are the things that we heard about Jaylen, and it just bothers me to this day, mm-hmm, that he had to be labeled like that. It wasn't fair at all.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. There are a lot of unfair things said about Jaylen Brown. We now know them to be unfair. The too smart to play in the NBA thing, that is really upsetting. And you know what? I think in today's brighter light, like we could have said back then, like we did say back then, that's there is plenty of coded language in there. But I think it's important to make that distinction nowadays, especially nowadays with everything that's going on, to say that this is how he was assessed by professionals who used his intelligence against him. Like that's a supreme athlete like Jaylen Brown who can think and be intelligent. Like that should be the biggest plus for a guy, and to make it a negative is that's pretty bad. And the people who said that should be embarrassed about them, embarrassed for themselves. Now, as far as Danny Ainge and the rest of this draft, I don't think you can say anything about everybody that went 3 through 15. At 16, this is where you might get a little problematic about the draft, because he wasn't able to move those other picks, because he had this logjam, and you couldn't make all the picks because you can't keep all these guys, because he had all these, I think he had what, 13 or 14 players under contract. He couldn't keep everybody. So at 16, he drafts Gershon Yabusele, who stayed in, he played in China for a year. So he stayed overseas for that year because the Celtics needed a draft and stash. And in fact, at 23, they picked Ante Zizic, who became also a draft and stash. You don't normally see draft and stashes in the mid to late first round. You usually see them a lot later in the first round. You don't usually see them at 16. So the Celtics end up at the end of this on the team. They end up keeping, obviously they got Jaylen Brown. Demetrius Jackson, I think, gets stashed in the G League, and he got a little bit of time. He got in every once, like he's five games. He got 5 games worth of time. So he was basically a G League guy that got called up, got to hang out with Jordan Mickey and Abdel Nader, who I think was just all G League that year. So basically, out of the draft, out of 8 draft picks, the only useful player, really the only useful player that they got out of it, was Jaylen Brown. Now, that's enough, and you know that's a successful draft. But you know, you go back and you think, like, geez, I wish they could have gotten something for some combination of those picks. But as you said, when you're in the position of not being able to. Not being in a position of power, you just at that point you say, all right, you know, you deal with it, you try to make do with the best you can, and unfortunately none of it panned out in this draft other than Jaylen Brown. But Jaylen Brown is panning out so well that we don't really criticize Danny Ainge for the 2016 draft.
Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
The best additions you can make are through the draft. You know, then you have control contractually over that player for longer and at a more affordable rate than going after a free agent. The obvious other side of that, though, is that if you were going to get a Jimmy Butler, you already know what he can do. He's been there as an all-star. And you're going to get the production out of him right away. And when you draft someone, you have to wait and just hope that they develop. So right then, it was looking good, but we didn't know for sure. I think by now we have a pretty good idea that Jaylen Brown is going to be a star, yeah. If he's not already.
I would say I would call Jaylen Brown right now a borderline all-star. That's kind of in my writing. I've referred to him many times as a borderline all-star because I think if he had made the all-star team, it would have been totally acceptable this past season. And look, considering how good he's been and how good he still looks now on the restart and his attitude, I can't imagine that there's any sort of drop-off that's so significant that he can't keep this up. And in part, and look, you talk about situation, and I'll always say situation matters. Coming to Boston and being part of this team with Brad Stevens, and eventually now part of his explosion this season, has been because you get Kemba Walker, you have Gordon Hayward, Jason Tatum is ascending. Jaylen Brown, his game fits with that. He's able to do the things not only that the Celtics need him to do, he's able to excel at them to a point where he's just become really good. The catch and shoot threes, the Celtics need a catch and shoot three guy after Tatum and Kemba attack and Gordon attacks to have Jaylen out on the perimeter able to catch and shoot. That's a huge thing. And considering how much of a deterrent his shooting ability was around draft time, how many people were just down on that, for that to be the case right now is pretty amazing. And now with the benefit of hindsight and very recent hindsight, we can say, like, yeah, this absolutely worked out perfectly. And like you said, now you enter into the next phase of control, quote unquote, control of his career. You now have him as he blossoms and reaches his peak, because he's still 3 or 4 years from reaching that the beginning of his prime. Like, it's tantalizing to think that you got him at that spot. And I don't know if people back then would have believed it, but now you look at it and you just say, man, the other seven picks don't even matter. It just doesn't matter. You got this kid who is going to grow into this amazing player. I feel like he's constantly proving people wrong. He's constantly proving me wrong. And I admit that I've had boxes that I felt like I put him in, and he's constantly breaking out of those things, and it's just no telling what he can be. So I'm excited.
He's highly motivated.
Yes.
He's worked very hard on his game. You can see that. That's clear. And now it's paying off for him.
So the Celtics got Jaylen Brown. Now, as we discussed this season, Jaylen Brown did not really emerge this season. We didn't know he was going to be this based on his rookie season. His rookie season numbers, he played 78 games, started 20, but only played 17 minutes a game. He averaged six and a half points. Now, he shot well. He hit 41% of his threes. He hit 57.5% of his field goals, but there were lapses. And what the biggest criticism of Jaylen Brown at that point was, he seemed to be thinking too much on the floor. And he would have these lapses where he'd play well and then something would go wrong. And I think in his rookie year, he let mistakes kind of linger. And, you know, Brad Stevens and a lot of coaches obviously are the proponent of, you got to move on. Whenever you make a mistake, just let it go. Move on to that next play. Because if you don't move on to that next play, you're going to make a second mistake, and that's going to be even worse. One mistake, you deal with it. If you start making two, three, and four mistakes in a row because your mind is still on all the mistakes that you're making, then you have to come off the floor. And now, as we gush about Jaylen Brown, we do have to remember that his rookie year, this year, 2016-17, he definitely was guilty of that and was benched for long stretches because of it.
Yeah, he was a rookie.
Right.
You got to cut him some slack. You know, rookie learning curve, and they're expected to make mistakes. As you said, he wasn't one of the major players on the team. He averaged 17 minutes a game. That's okay. That's off the bench. That's a role player. He wasn't being expected to carry the load yet.
So there it is, the Jaylen Brown story. It's an interesting story. And as his career progresses, obviously he grows into what we're seeing now. And as I said in the podcast, yeah, I'm guilty of putting Jaylen Brown in boxes. And like, that's what we do. We assess players, but it really is a good lesson that some players look like, okay, this is going to be their ceiling, but they have something else. And it's hard to discern that. And you know what? It's okay to look at a player and say, I thought he was going to be this, and say, you know what? I might be a little bit wrong here. He's going to be better than I thought he was. And that's how it goes with a guy you drafted him at 20 years old. He's nowhere near his prime yet. So he's growing into a much better player than I expected, but also a much better player than a lot of people expected. And, you know, that's just 100% testament to Jaylen Brown, the work that he's put in, the refusal to just be in those boxes that people try to put him in, using that as motivation. Good for him. Really good for him. And every young player, every rookie has a chance to become something more. So we definitely have a tendency to see somebody in these moments and say, well, this is what they're going to be forever, which is completely unfair, but that's how we do it. So Jaylen Brown really emerging as one of the future stars of the Boston Celtics, and who knows what his ceiling is. I mean, I'd like to think I know, but obviously I haven't, you know, haven't seen the full scope of what Jaylen Brown is going to be. And that's what it is. We're learning more about Jaylen Brown. He's learning more about himself, and he continues to grow. So really a testament to the work that he's doing. The rest of this podcast that we recorded is basically a gushing festival around Isaiah Thomas. And like, they signed Al Horford, and Mike and I didn't talk about Al Horford barely at all. The whole thing's about Isaiah Thomas. We'll get into more Al Horford later on, but for the rest of this historical deep dive, and this will be mixed in. So the Celtics play on Tuesday, and so we'll, you know, this podcast will be the post-game podcast on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, depending if they have media availability, if they do, then I'll do a segment on the media availability, and the next two segments will be part of the historical deep dives. So mixing that in as we restart the season and getting as far through all of the Celtics history, I mean, really covering the entirety of Boston Celtics history, that's a hell of an accomplishment here on the podcast. So hope you have enjoyed it. If you're not a subscriber, that effort alone is worth subscribing for. Some of you have reached out and have given great comments and compliments about this podcast series. Thank you so much for that. If you're a regular subscriber, a 5-star rating and a good written review would be super, super helpful. I know we keep asking for it, but it's something that really is helpful. And please share the podcast. If you really like the Celtics, the Locked On Celtics podcast, tell your friends. Tell a couple of friends here or there that this is a podcast they should be listening to. That would be an amazing gesture. If you've got a couple of friends who don't listen to podcasts, or maybe do and they haven't listened to Locked On Celtics, share it with them. Tell them to be listening to the podcast, because that will continue to grow the podcast. Man, I would love you for it. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Celtics podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And be sure to subscribe to Locked On NBA, because all of this week, the rest of this week, is going to be our capsule previews. It's going to be a great way to catch up 3 to 4 minutes from each Locked On host that has a team in the bubble. It's going to be a great way to catch up on every team still playing as we head into the restart. So subscribe to Locked On NBA.